Welcome to Murder with the Misses. I'm Darren.
And I'm Amy. And today we're going to tell you the story of Molly Miller and Colt Haynes. This case is set in Carter County and Love County, Oklahoma. These areas are lower in Oklahoma, so Love County is on the Texas line, and Carter County is just north of Love, so they connect. Now, Love County is reported to only have around 10,000 people, and Carter County is a little bigger, having more like 48,000 people. So just be prepared in this case to hear about small-town corruption, rumor mills, all the nuances that go along with that. Now that you have a better idea of where we are, let's talk about the case. Molly Miller was a 17-year-old high school student in Wilson, Oklahoma. Wilson is in Carter County. Molly lived with her mom and grandparents and was especially close to her grandfather, Alex. She was described as feisty, not afraid to speak her mind. She liked to play around and was active in softball. After her grandmother passed away, she started to rebel a little because everybody handles grief differently. She was fighting with her mom more and hanging out with a different crowd of people. Her mom and her aunt had even talked about Molly moving in with her aunt, which she lived like 2 hours away. But Molly and her mom started getting along a little better, so that never happened. At the end of June 2013, she got into a fight with her mom and left the house to stay with a friend for a few days. She had done this before, so her mom knew she would be home when she cooled off. But this time was different. This time, she met Colt.
And that changes things. Young love, you know, you want to spend as much time with someone you like whenever you can, especially at the beginning.
Yeah, they wanted to spend all their time together. And there's not a lot of information out there on Colt. Even his age, since some say he was 21 and some say he was 22. But according to his court records, he was 21 at this time. Now, he had a history of run-ins with the law in both Love and Carter County. Although he lived in a smallish community, it is reported to have had a large meth problem that some say still goes on today. Colt had an on-again, off-again issue with meth. He also had a 10-month-old son, so there was this back-and-forth pull of trying to get clean and then falling right back into old habits. While it's unknown what exactly the relationship between Molly and Colt was, they do know that Molly liked him right away and wanted to be around him. And at the time that this incident happened, they had only known each other for around 7 to 10 days. So not long at all.
No.
On July 5th, surveillance from a casino parking lot shows Molly and Colt along with two other people in what looked like a drug deal. On July 6th, Molly and Colt were said to have been at a friend's house doing drugs, so they had been together for at least a couple of days at this point. On Sunday, July 7th of 2013, it is said that Colt left the house with James Conn Knipp, who everyone knows as Conn, and they left Molly at the house. This man's house was Conn's cousin, so they felt like she was okay to stay there with him. Now his wife, who was working on her sobriety, woke up and came into the kitchen to find Molly and the cousin doing drugs, so she asked Molly to leave. Colt and Conn came back and picked her up, and this is how they all ended up together on this day. But we really need to talk about Conn.
This guy was no good.
No.
I mean, he felt like he was above the law.
Right.
Could do whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted.
Yeah.
I mean, just a real kind of piece of shit.
Really, he was. You'll see. We'll get there. Now, a little background on him. Molly and Conn knew each other for a large part of their lives. And some reports even say that they were probably distant cousins. But I didn't find anything to support that, so I can't say if it's true or not. But they did know each other for a very long time. Colt knew Conn for a much shorter time. But Colt's son's mother was Conn's ex-girlfriend. So they had that connection. It's reported that Conn physically abused her when they were together. So whether that's the reason or if it was just Conn's brilliant personality, either way, Colt didn't get along with him. But they were together that weekend doing drugs. Conn's family lived on a large amount of property down Long Hollow Road. That's referred to many times as a family compound. So it's basically like when several family members own land that all connect together. So it's like one large piece of land owned by the family. Khan's favorite thing to do was cause trouble because he didn't have many major repercussions from it. He had been in trouble in 2010 for marijuana charges and again in 2011 for a DUI, but was well known by the police in the area for all the things that he didn't seem to get in trouble for.
And the family lived there, you know, for a long time, generations, you know, so they had the attitude like they run the place.
And they did. I'm not going to lie. They really did. And we see that a lot. What we do know is that on this day, Molly was in the back seat, Colt in the front passenger seat, and Khan was driving the 2012 Honda Accord. Molly's aunt states the Wilson police chief was in the parking lot of a convenience store, and Khan drove by going around 80 miles an hour. But when the cop didn't chase him, he turned around, came back to the store parking lot, and did a donut, flinging rocks on the cop car. And that's when the chase started. So either way, he was being a dick. The police chase crossed over into Love County, so the Love County police picked it up. They did lose the Honda at one point because he was turning his lights off and on. Police were heard on the radio saying it was probably Khan because his MO was to start a chase and then go down to the family property where he knew he could get away. He could go into places that the cops couldn't or wouldn't go, these little trails that ran through the land. In fact, even neighboring property owners were always having to fix their fences because someone kept driving through them.
And we got a recording, you know, where they dispatched had even mentioned that.
Right, as soon as the chase started.
Whatever, so I'm going to play that one for you.
Yeah.
Right now.
It's a black 2012 Honda Accord.
My aunt advised they do believe it's Khan Nip, probably going to Long Hollow.
So he's known. This is what he does.
Yeah, so everybody knows this, who it is and everything. So, I mean, because this is just kind of his MO is to, you know, take police on a chase down this way, and then this is how he loses them.
Right. Now, Long Hollow Road is a dead end, so there would have been no out for any other person in the chase but Khan. And being so used to this scenario, he'd just go through the field. Officers were advised initially to block the road off, but these roads are back roads, like dirt roads. So the sheriff of Love County, Joe Russell, called off the chase.
Yeah, and we also have audio of that. And basically, whenever they was in pursuit, they was actually just about to cut Khan off.
Yeah.
And block him in whenever this call came in. So we'll play that one for you.
That horseshoe, it's go on, choking 1022.
So basically, 1022 is basically...
Call off the chase. Yeah. And there's two theories as to why Sheriff Joe Russell did this. Either it's because of the dangerous condition, since it was so dusty, following the Honda down dirt roads. And some people say that Joe just didn't want another car tore up. But the more popular belief is because Khan is actually Sheriff Joe Russell's cousin.
And that explains, you know, how he got away with so much. And, you know, he thought he was above the law.
Oh, yeah. He definitely did. Khan had damaged the car so bad at this point that it actually stopped in a field. Khan would go on to deny even being with Molly and Colt that night. But this is actually where he separated from the two. Now, the clouds were so thick that there wasn't even moonlight, so visibility was very low outside. Colt and Molly were each calling friends to come and pick them up. It was said that 33 of the phone calls made from Molly's phone that night were Colt calling people. And at one point, Colt climbed a tree to see if he could see anything from up higher, but falls about 25 feet to the ground, breaking his ankle. I mean, like, he said his bone was sticking out of the skin. And calls from Molly and Colt are telling the friends about the ankle and that Colt is in the ditch or a creek bed and throwing up blood at this point. Now, at 12:47 a.m., Molly's phone made a 911 call for about 5 seconds, but there was no talking on her end. The 911 operator tried to call back several times, as that is protocol, but never got an answer. They were still calling friends, though, asking for help and water, and saying that they were somewhere between Long Hollow Road and Pike Road. So four of his friends go out there while still on the phone with him. We don't know a whole lot about Colt, but he had some pretty damn good friends. Now, they're all on four-wheelers, and they have flashlights, so they're flashing the lights and, you know, making noises with the four-wheelers, but Molly and Colt can't see or hear them. By around 9 a.m., Colt tells his friends to go to Con's grandpa's house and ask him where he left them. He said, "That motherfucker knows where we're at." So he was rightfully pissed. Con, of course, denied being with him, saying he doesn't know anything. But the friends hand the phone to Con, and as he's walking away, they could hear Colt screaming through the phone at him. When Con brings the phone back, he tells the friends that the two are close to where a Mustang is. And so this is a car that they all knew where it was. But they still couldn't find them. Molly's last call was made at 9:39 a.m., when her phone either died or was shut off. Colt's phone either died or shut off 18 minutes later at 9:57 a.m.
And the reason they say that it may have been shut off, you know, is that it is odd that, you know, the phones just stopped working within 18 minutes of each other. You know, that's suspicious.
It is. Because, I mean, they were in the same situation, likely using their flashlights on their phones, making phone calls, things like that. But they were two separate people, so.
And they even said that at one point, you know, they was on the phones with friends, and the friend, and he's like, you know, let me shoot my shotgun in the air and let me see if you can hear it.
We did see that reported once. Yeah. They actually went to a man's house that lived nearby. And he was like, what are you doing on my property? And they said they were looking for their friend. And he said, well, let me shoot my gun.
Oh, is that what? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And I only saw that reported once, so I didn't throw it into the story, but it is worth mentioning that is a possibility too.
But when they did it and everything, Cole was like, I can't even hear it. So that means that he was in a totally different area
than where they were.
Than what they thought they was.
Right, because shotguns you can hear for out in the country where there's no sound, you can hear
miles,
it.
Miles, yeah.
Yeah, there's no mistake in it. So they were not close.
Yeah.
And back to the phones, like going dead at the same time, they would have been using their phones at different times since they last charged them. So like maybe one texted more than the other or was online or watching videos. That'll drain your battery a lot more. So the fact that they went dead or were turned off, well, the fact that they would have went dead so close to each other was another just suspicious thing that we thought we'd mention.
Yeah, and what I don't understand with this either is, you know, this was 2013.
Yes.
They had cell phone pinging back then.
Yes.
So why couldn't they ping their location?
Well, at this point, Con is saying he wasn't even with them.
But
Colt and Molly aren't even calling family. They're calling friends because they don't feel like they're in danger at this point.
And I understand that. But I mean, you know, with the scare and everything, they could have pinged their location to at least see where their last known location was. And that gives them kind of a place to look.
Now, I did see one report that did say that Molly's phone was pinged.
Oh, okay.
And that it was last seen around the corner of Pike and Oswald. So I need you to understand that you've got Pike and Long Hollow, which run vertically.
Okay.
And they are connected horizontally by Oswald Road.
So within a mile.
Yeah. So they literally make like an H. Mm-hmm. And they all connect together. So this is actually where the friends were looking for them. So this is why it's so odd, is that they're in the right place, they think. They're telling them where they're at. The friends are looking where they're at. The phone is pinging where they're at. But then all of a sudden, there's nothing.
I gotcha.
Right. So, it's one of those things. So the next day, July 8th, Molly's reported missing. Once the family hears about the police chase, they contact Love County as well to report her there, since that's the last place they were seen. Now, Sheriff Joe refuses to take the missing persons report, saying that it wasn't his problem, that it was Wilson City and Carter County's problem. The cops treat Molly as a runaway. Even a news article from July 22nd shows Chief Hernandez says she's a runaway. She's with a 21-year-old man, and they don't believe that she is in danger. There's no mention of the police chase, which, to me, put her in danger. Now, also on July 8th, the Honda Accord they were in was reportedly stolen. The owner of the car, Khan's girlfriend at the time, told police that Khan had borrowed her car on the 7th, but had returned it to her between 15 and 30 minutes before the police chase started. She said she went to bed shortly after, and when she woke up at around 6 a.m., she saw that the car had been stolen. The car was found in a field south of Oswalt Road on July 22nd, about 1,500 feet from Nip's property. Oswalt Road, like I said, connects Long Hollow and Pike. So, again, the car is now found where Molly and Colt were saying they were. Now, when the car was found, it had about $18,000 worth of damage to it from where they had gone through several ditches and barbed wire fences. 6 months after this incident, Khan was in another high-speed chase. I know you're shocked. But this time, it was with Oklahoma Highway Patrol, so he was actually caught and arrested. But his girlfriend was also arrested. Khan was charged with endangering others while eluding police, assault with a dangerous weapon, and unauthorized use of a vehicle. His girlfriend was charged with insurance fraud because she reported the car stolen in the incident with Molly and Colt back in July when she knew Khan had it and tore it up. Affidavits show a lot of cell phone activity took place throughout the night between her and Khan's family when the girlfriend was supposedly sleeping. I'm talking text messages and phone calls that started at around 10 to 11 p.m. and went up until she called police to report the car stolen at around 6:30 a.m. Khan was sentenced to 10 years. He served 4 and was released in 2018.
Well, at least he got busted for, you know, that one.
Just because it was highway patrol instead of county.
Yeah.
Ugh. But he obviously didn't learn a lesson because it was just 6 months after the Molly and Colt chase. Still at it strong.
Yeah, true.
So Molly's family was getting a lot of tips and, of course, hearing a lot of rumors. People say they were murdered and their bodies were in Moxley Lake, that the bodies were transported over the Texas line and buried there, and even that Colt's brother had killed them.
So no calls were made to Colt's brother that night. So not sure how he would have known that they were out there and how he'd even go out there to hurt them.
Or why he would go out there to hurt them.
Yeah.
Now, it's said that they didn't necessarily get along, but there was a 14-year age gap between Colt and Jesse, so they didn't even spend a lot of time together. They weren't really raised together. It was just a odd thing to throw out there, but you know how rumors are. However, there was one that really stuck out. 2 days after the chase, there was a tip that Molly was tied to a tree at the end of Long Hollow Road. Police blocked the road off, and Sheriff Joe was down there checking into the tip while other officers were checking into a tip in the northern part of the county. No one else has reportedly checked on this. And a witness stated to the grand jury in 2015 that Khan told her Molly was taken to the property on Long Hollow Road, with Khan being there too. And he said that they had a huge drug-fueled party and had ran trains on Molly. The family believes that this has truth to it, sadly. Now, 8 months after the incident, a 911 call came in from Colby Barrick, who is Khan's uncle. No one is directly talking to the 911 operator, but people are heard talking in the background. So it's believed that this was like a pocket dial or dialed by accident. It is reported that this is what they could make out from the conversation, and this is supposedly all in Colby's voice. So it's very broken up, but I'm going to read the transcript of what they made out. You know, you're fucking mad. You know, you're fucking tired. Fucking Moxley Lake. A buck knife. Molly Miller. They shot him in the mouth. Right there. I can put my finger all the way through it. Then you hear sounds of water and 2 gunshots. I know this is 8 months later, but it sounds almost like describing disposing of the body, or maybe actually disposing of a body, I don't know, or retelling of a story, because it sounds like it's coming from firsthand knowledge. So the operator, when she hears this, runs to good old Sheriff Joe telling him that she's just heard this. And when she mentioned that water was involved, he immediately says, Moxley Lake. This could have been because they had several tips and rumors saying that the body was out there. Or it could be that he had knowledge of what happened. You never know. They pinged Colby's phone, and the call had come from a pond near Moxley Lake. But nothing came from it. There were three men out there fishing who were all convicted felons and all had guns on them, which is illegal. But again, nothing came from it.
So who the hell is policing the police?
Nobody.
I mean, this is why these, you know, cases are so frustrating. The cops are not doing their jobs. In this case, they're, you know, they're going out of their way not to investigate.
Right.
Because of their, you know, it involves their family members.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. It's just they got a corrupt sheriff.
Yeah, to say the least. We'll get into more of that.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, because he's calling off pursuits for his nephew. He's,
on a regular basis.
Nephew or cousin. Cousin, whatever. But family member. He's calling off pursuits for his family member.
Right.
You know, and then what? He's the one that's investigating the tip.
Yeah, the only one who investigated
the only one that's investigating tip, knowing that his family member was involved.
Right.
He should have took himself out of this to begin with.
Agreed. Isn't this a conflict of interest?
Very.
But that's not how Sheriff Joe ran things.
That's why he's crooked.
He was very crooked. So let's talk about Sheriff Joe. He was elected in 2000, and in 2016, he was charged with corruption in office, willful negligence of duty, willful maladministration. You know, all just charges for abusing his power, basically. What I don't understand fully, maybe because I don't know politics well enough, is that the news reports at this time literally say he was arrested, released OR, which is on his own recognizance. I said that word really good. Mm-hmm. High five. And returned to work while they filed for his removal from office. Why? Why would you allow somebody who's charged with abusing the power of the office to go back to the office? It doesn't make sense to me.
No. That's the whole thing. I mean, whenever he was up to be removed from office, he should have never been able to go back into the office because what else is he trying to cover up?
He had time to do whatever, tie up some loose ends.
Everything. I mean, he had time to shred papers, get rid of, I mean, any kind of evidence that could incriminate him anymore.
I've worked at jobs where when someone gets fired, they literally get called into HR or wherever. And as they're getting fired, IT is shutting down their computer so they can't do anything on it.
Yeah, they're wiping their system clean so you can't go in there and screw up their system whenever you get fired.
And I work in like real estate. So this is a sheriff. Oh my God. But he was also known to, there's a report that he let Khan and some other people like have a room to talk, and there was evidence in this room. Like, this was a room where they kept evidence, and he just let them have like a private meeting in there. That messes up the chain. Okay. We all know. It's chain.
Yeah.
He did resign, though. That was very nice of him. But there's also multiple different reports of exactly why his charges or what his charges were. But he did plead no contest to some and guilty to others because of a sweet, sweet deal that he made.
Of course he did.
Of course he did. Why would he not? So he ended up getting no jail time, supervised probation for a year, and a fine totaling a whopping $370 by the time fees were added. You see, apparently Joe's son, Willie, and his girlfriend were living with Joe.
Yeah.
The girlfriend had warrants in more than one county, including Love County. She said Joe would remind her on a regular basis that if she left Willie, she would be arrested. But she left anyway, so good for her. She went to live with another man. Joe had her arrested, and then he arrested the man that she was with for harboring a fugitive.
Because it's against the law, unless you're the law.
Right, he arrested him for doing the same shit that he was doing. This is a great guy. But She did make sure that she mentioned, after all this, all of the meth coming in and out of Joe's house. Willie was convicted in 2015 for dealing that meth. An affidavit stated that he sold meth out of the house and even used Sheriff Joe's patrol truck to sell it. He even reportedly snorted a line off the console.
Classy. Yeah, right. and that's what got me in this thing was that not only was they basically distributing and, I don't know, maybe even cooking or whatever, meth at the sheriff's house, manufacturing it and distributing it, everything, he was allowing him to use government vehicle.
Yes.
To distribute it.
Yes.
To take it wherever it needs to go.
I would not buy meth out of a sheriff's truck.
Well, I guess you would in Love County.
Apparently, everybody's like, oh, it's like the ice cream truck, I guess.
Yep.
You see it come around, you start waving your money at it. No?
Just total corruption.
This, like, I'm getting riled right now. Like, I get heated when I read stuff like
this. That's what I'm saying. This guy had no business. And then you get off with a $307 fine.
Well, it was $370 by the time
they had a fee. Whatever, $370, $307, whatever. It wasn't enough.
No.
It wasn't enough. There's guys out here now that freaking get busted with drugs and everything. And they got them held up for freaking $10 million on bonds and shit.
$1 million bonds, yeah.
And everything. And this sheriff right here, he gets caught having a distribution plant basically in his fucking house. And what does he get? $370 and a fucking slap on the wrist.
They're like, hey, don't do that again.
He's covering up a fucking crime.
Okay, listen. It's also reported that he would go out to the lake in the summertime, pick up girls in bikinis, and they think they're going to jail or something for like underage drinking or whatever they were doing out there they weren't supposed to be doing. And he would take them to his house, give them drugs, and have them dance for him.
There you go. Now he's a fucking pedophile.
Well, okay, I can't say they were all underage.
Whatever.
I just read some.
He's a creep.
Wow. Words are cool, but I just can't find them.
Yeah, he's a fucking creep is all it is.
He's abusing his power to the fullest extent. That's what it is.
I would say he's probably the worst cop, but I could probably name a couple other ones.
Unfortunately, there's others.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not all of them are like that. That's the bad thing about it.
I know.
But then you get this one, and it makes everybody there. Now, there was one ex-police officer from Love County that actually came forward, and he actually got fired because of the...
Because he tried to speak the truth.
And you know what? That means that he's one of the guys that are actually a legit...
And look what happened to him.
Yeah, exactly. He's one of them guys that are like, you know, I'm here, you know, to uphold the law, and I'm trying to find this girl and this guy, you know, and he gets fired for trying to do his job.
That's exactly what happened.
That's such bullshit. We need more of those guys.
But Sheriff Joe had to resign. Like, they didn't even kick him out of office. He resigned on his own.
He should have went to fucking prison. That's where he should have went.
Well, he's still out and about today.
Him, Con, all of them. They should have went to prison, stayed in prison. They should have locked it down. They threw away the key on that son of a bitch.
They are all still out and about.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, as you can tell, they felt absolutely bulletproof around here, this family. Like, they could get away with anything. And they didn't even try to hide it. Like, that's the sad thing. In 2018, Colby, remember the uncle who accidentally called 911, he was arrested on unrelated gun charges. And I tell you this because he told authorities at this time that Molly and Colt's bodies were at the pond. But the pond was finally able to be searched in 2022, and they weren't found. While all these arrests are extremely necessary, in my opinion, we still don't know what happened to Molly and Colt or where they are. The OSBI, the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigations, changed the case to a homicide investigation way back in 2014. But it is reported that they turned the case over to the Bureau of Indian Affairs in late 2022, as Molly is Native American. There's been a lot of coverage on this case. There's a lot to go over. And we wanted to tell it in the hopes that it can keep the case in the minds of everyone, especially the locals, that could possibly come forward. This is just another one of many cases where it just takes one person coming forward and it can change everything for these families. Now, I just want to remind you, Molly is a Caucasian Native American female with blue eyes. Her natural hair color is brown, but it was dyed black at the time. Her lower lip is pierced on the right side, and she has a star tattoo on her hip. Colt is a Caucasian male. He has brown hair and blue eyes. He has several tattoos. The letters CMFH on his forearm, a Colt 45 on his upper abdomen, and a banner saying Ride or Die on his upper chest. And there's also a Facebook page called Operation Find Molly Miller if you have any information to provide. And I know I said that there wasn't a lot out there on Colt, and there's not. But Molly being a minor at the time, she has gotten way more coverage. But they were both there. They were both together. And so they need to be found, both of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and they also had the report where, you know, just to add on to this.
Add it on. Pile it up.
So at the family farm mm-hmm. of Joe Russell.
The Nip Farm. Mm-hmm.
The Nip Farm. They said that there was a new dog kennel built. And
yes.
That there was concrete poured.
Yes, at this time.
Mm-hmm. And they wouldn't. And so what was it? OSBI and all them. They was talking FBI. About how they'd have to get.
Yeah, they would have to get ground penetrating sonar.
Sonar and everything to try to look at, but they won't let them look at it.
The Nip family does everything that they can to keep them off this property.
All I have to say, you know, is if you got a warrant to go and search a property, then there's nothing they can do.
I actually saw, so on this Facebook page, you can actually see a family member of the Nips sunbathing on the other side of a fence from where they're searching. Like, as the family's out there searching, this guy is laying out there in his shorts, just sunbathing in the middle of a field. Like, you can tell it's an obvious slap in the face.
These guys are just fucking pieces.
They're assholes.
That's all there are.
Yeah, I agree.
But
we need awareness. We need people.
Yeah.
And who I know these people or were involved with these people back then or even now, just to say something. If you see something or hear something, say something.
Yeah. And I hope tribal. You said tribal's taking it over.
Yes, the Bureau of Indian Affairs have started looking into it as of 2022.
Well, you know what? I hope they take it over, and I hope they find out everything they need to find out, and I hope they put these guys under the jail.
Wow.
For a long damn time, because that's where they need to be, every damn one of them.
This is just what we know about. We don't know about stuff that they've covered up and got away with.
Exactly. I'm hoping they uncover everything on them.
There may be more bodies out there.
Yeah. This is this was done wrong from the start.
And who knows what kind of evidence was destroyed from the beginning, like if there was any.
Yep.
Just so sad. We want these families to get justice.
Yep.
It's heartbreaking to do these stories where these people are missing and these families are pushing so hard. Molly's Aunt Paula, holy shit. I want to be like her when I grow up. She's one of those that we talk about all the time that is literally keeping this investigation open and out there.
Yeah, I mean, her Aunt Paula and her cousins and mm-hmm. everything. I mean, they, you know, a lot of people would be scared to be speaking out. About stuff
a lot of
like,
people are scared.
Know, yeah, but I mean, but for them to push forward and try to figure out what happened.
Exactly.
And everything and not give, you know, basically, they want to know.
They have to know.
Man, I applaud them.
I do too.
I do, because I mean, that takes some guts. It really does. And a lot of people don't want to do that. I mean, because they're afraid of what might happen.
Yeah, because they still live with these people in their community.
Yeah. They have to look at them.
They have to see them at the store.
Yeah. Boy, I couldn't do that.
I would be in jail every other day.
Every time I saw them.
So she's going about it the right way, not the hothead way like we would.
Yeah.
She's doing everything she can do. She's trying to keep it by the book, by the law. But I'm just saying, these people need answers.
Well, this right here was our perspective on this. This is how we look at it. Mm-hmm. This is everything that we researched, that we came up with. I hope that we was as close as we could be.
I hope we were respectful to the victims.
I really do. I mean, and you know, I got a little too hot and heavy on this one. So I do apologize, but there is some things where
you don't apologize.
But I mean, there's some things where when it involves corrupt law enforcement and everything else, man, that really gets me because, you know, they're supposed to be here to serve and protect.
Like you said, who's policing the police?
Yeah. I mean, those are supposed to be the people we go to
right.
to help.
100%.
And, you know.
They're the ones we fear.
And I mean, for them to go up there and be like, we want to report Molly missing. And he's like,
Not my problem. Yeah.
She's from there. Make it your problem.
Well, he's in Love County. She was from Carter County. So the reason they even went to Love County was because that's where the chase ended. That's the last place they were seen. They should have, at the minimum, been like, we would love to help.
But it's neighboring counties.
They're right there. We would love to help Old Carter County out, but they did not.
Yeah.
He was wanting to help Con out.
Yeah, no, he was just covering. He was covering his family's asses. What he was doing,
100%.
Basically, that's all it was.
That's why we get riled. So we apologize. Just kidding. We don't.
But anyway, we do appreciate you guys listening. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and follow. Till the next one.
Bye.